It's really not about you being inherently broken and unable to achieve goals. Our goal-setting system is broken. And it's rooted in impractical expectations that then lead us to inevitable disappointment.
Welcome to Shift Talking, a podcast where we explore the art and science of behavior change. I'm your host, Davina Hain, a mental health coach and founder of A Steady Space. Join me as we discuss actionable tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you create lasting change once and for all. Now, let's get to the Shift Talking. Hi, and welcome back to Shift Talking. We are in our cozy little corner of the podcast world, and I'm so glad you've joined me. Today, we are tackling a very familiar topic, New Year's resolutions. Whether we love them or hate them, they have a way of sneaking into our lives every January and pressuring us into changing drastic parts of ourselves, not even seemingly overnight, but actually overnight. So we have to ask ourselves whether they're actually helping us grow or holding us back. And I'm going to go with the latter. Research is showing us that only about 8% of people actually achieve their New Year's resolutions. And it's because these goals are born from societal pressure and not a genuine personal desire or planning. And even if it does come from a genuine desire, how are we supposed to achieve them? Right? Like it's this new year, new me bullshit. But realistically, how is the version of you that goes to bed on the 31st or really on the 1st going to be different than the version of you that wakes up on the 1st? We tend to tie this identity, our behavior, our habits to the new year or any sort of time-based thing, right? Like diet starts on Monday kind of shit. And that's just not going to change anything for us. That is expecting something external to change and to motivate us instead of it coming intrinsically from within. And that's exactly why they make us feel worse. We set unattainable goals with impractical expectations, hence the episode before this one, and we set ourselves up for failure time and time again. And yet every year we're convinced that starting January 1, I will be able to do this. And with what's happening in the world and the dumpster fire that it is, how do we actually realistically think that our stress levels are going to benefit from setting super high, super vague goals? And they won't. So here's what I used to do with New Year's resolutions, right? I would decide on a big resolution, and by February, the cracks were already showing. Each day missed became this heavy mark of failure. I was breaking promises to myself. I was even more disappointed in myself then than I was in December when I was coming up with this resolution. And then by mid-year, my morning routine just felt more like a guilt trip rather than a source of peace to start my day within. I had fallen within that trap that so many of us face, which is chasing perfection instead of progress. And that's the thing about these resolutions. They unintentionally set us up for stress instead of success. So here's where the SHIFT framework steps in to save the day and your sanity. Our S, our self-awareness, is asking ourselves, why do I want this? What is it about this goal that motivates me? And then from there, we again ask that same question 7 times over, as many as we need in order to dig in. And that's how we determine what our why is. If it's societal pressure, do you also agree with the societal ideology, right? If it's familial or work-related or whatever these things are, do you actually agree with this goal? Because if you do, then you're much more likely to achieve it. And then when we get into our I for innovation shortly coming up, that's where we'll kind of break down those goals. But first, we have to start with, why am I doing this? What is it that I'm looking to achieve? What is it that I think this will benefit in my life? And I have a resource on my website. It's a whole fill-outable form kind of deal to help you figure out what your why is and like your wants versus just your shoulds. What is this going to do for you? What has held you back before? How will this affect the people in your household? How will this affect the people in the world outside of you? How will you be affected by the people in your household? Are you the only one choosing this, or is everyone else going to do this together as like, you know, a familial thing? And how are you going to affect the people around you?
Our H is for healing. Let's put down the guilt of past resolutions that didn't stick. Forgive yourself. Recognize that I was set up for failure and lo and behold, I ended up failing, and that is okay. It's really not about you being inherently broken and unable to achieve goals. Our goal-setting system is broken, and it's rooted in impractical expectations that then lead us to inevitable disappointment. Forgive yourself. Allow that to be okay. Our I, which is our innovation, of course, lets us determine a new way to approach our goal. So maybe instead of planning these big overarching goals like, I'm not going to lose my shit on my kids, I'm going to exercise more, or lose weight, or eat healthier, or learn something new, or read more books, or save more money, or stick to a budget, or spend more time with friends, or set boundaries in unhealthy relationships, or get a new job, or finish this degree, or, you know, like there's all of these things, and all of those are really great, beautiful goals, right? And how? How am I actually supposed to achieve them? They sound really cute on paper, but how? What is going to be different this time? And here's what we do. We change the system, not the goal. We use SMART goals, which is an acronym for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time sensitive. So instead of it being so vague, like I want to lose weight, we recognize what is the most important thing in losing weight, and that's hydration. So instead of it being I'm just going to lose weight, we have to start with these things and then allow these habits to stack upon one another. And I have done the same thing too, where like January 1, I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to make a nutritious meal. I'm going to go work out at the gym for an hour. And then I'm going to come home and meal prep. And it's just so much. We have to add these goals into our day-to-day, not change our entire day-to-day for these goals. It's not sustainable. So if we know that staying hydrated is important to losing weight, we are going to drink 50 ounces of water a day or go onto Google and look up a free calculator to tell you how many ounces you should be drinking. Measurable. Get a bottle that's exactly that amount or half of it and fill it twice, whatever that looks like. Attainable. Yes, that's realistic for me to drink this much water. And we also will be able to kind of set reminders in our phones or whatever it is in order to, you know, keep these continuous reminders around us. Is it realistic? Yes. And time sensitive. Do it for 1 week at a time or 1 day at a time and allow for that to be okay. When it comes to one of my previous resolutions, which was not losing my shit on my kids as often, not getting as loud, not yelling at them, not, you know, being this authoritarian who's like, do as I say, not as I do, and because I said so, and wanting to really allow for me to build this relationship with my kids in their adulthood, where they want me and not need me, where they want me and don't just feel the obligation to be around me because of course, those pressures. So I wanted to be able to be more calm and keep my shit together and not allow my wounds, my shit, my stress to bleed out onto them and then feel like absolute shit afterward. And what I used to do, which was just not going to lose my shit on my kids, and that sounds cute, and then I'm like zen for half a day or even half a week, and then I just lose it because I'm not setting up a good plan for myself. I'm using willpower alone instead of actually regulating myself. So when we're talking about not losing our shit on our kids or not yelling at them, it's not just about what not to do. It's about what to do instead. Instead of just not yelling, I'm going to set a SMART goal based on what I know is fundamental in order to not yell as often. And that is my own emotional regulation. So emotionally regulate myself is not a goal. That's a long-term plan, right? But the goal is going to be breaking down the overall plan into simpler, attainable goals, SMART goals. So when I know that I want to regulate myself emotionally, I know that that has to do a lot with getting adequate sleep, breath work, supplements, nourishing myself, having a morning routine, these types of things. But that's also a lot of things to add in at once. So we just have to determine which is the most important. Our amygdala, the part of our brain that triggers when we get upset, when we get angry, that part is 60% more easily triggered when we are at all sleep deprived. And I have a tendency to revenge the fuck out of my bedtime and stay up super late and watch whatever it is that I want to watch or do whatever it is that I want to do because I just want some time for me. And then morning me is pissed. Morning me is grumpy. Morning me doesn't have the patience for my kids and gets frustrated really easily and doesn't regulate myself and then regrets. So I started with sleep and I will be doing that again this year because I fell off and that's part of it. That's life. That's just what happens. It's not about perfection. It's about progress. So I am wanting to progress further. And so my SMART goal for this year, in order to stay more regulated with my kids and cause less harm and wounds to them, is going to be going to bed at a reasonable time. What I would like for it to be is 9 p.m. when my kids go to bed, but I know that I also want some time to work, to veg, to relax, to shower, whatever it is. I am also a night owl, so I like to be up late no matter what, whether I'm revenging or not. And I'm not a morning, like it's really hard for me to wake up in the morning. And I know setting a goal for me to wake up at 5, 6 a.m. is not going to work for me. So my overarching goal is to be in bed by 11 and asleep by midnight. And then I will be able to get a solid 7 hours of sleep, no matter what, whether I fall asleep around 11 or midnight. If I wake up around 7 a.m. when I need to for my kids to help them get ready for the day because they have late start school, thank goodness, and then we go. So that's my specific goal. It is to be in bed around 11 each evening and asleep by midnight. Is it measurable? Yes. I have a clock. Right? Like I have alarms in my phone. My phone goes on do not disturb. Is it attainable? Yes. It absolutely is. Is it realistic? Yes. And time sensitive? Yes. I'm going on a day-to-day basis. And so this is how I know exactly what it is that I need to do. And then from there, I can set and like habit stack other goals where it's not just getting into bed at 11. It's also making sure that my kids are down, that my face is washed, that my house is tidied, that I got, you know, my outfit chosen for the next day. Because in the morning, whether it's 7 a.m. or 10 a.m., I still just don't get moving very quickly. So that's what we do. We are going to do these things in order to, okay, if I need to be in bed by 11, what would I need to happen between 10 and 11? And it still means that I can watch my shows and I can still enjoy myself wherever I want to. I just take those things with me, right? I can put the podcast in my earbuds while I'm washing my face. I can, you know, dictate things that I need to get off of my brain for work. I can go through my to-do list using an AI or just verbally dictating into a Todoist, you know, kind of app. There's so much that we can do here. And I'm really just going into so much detail here to make it more realistic about how we can actually break these down and be able to achieve these things. And I'm not looking for me to do this perfectly 365 days of the year. I'm starting this now so that by the time New Year comes around, I'm going to feel more capable of doing this. And here's what we need to know also about like the way that our brain works. Dopamine, our feel-good chemical, is released when we plan. And then again, when we complete. But we do not get dopamine when we need to actually take on these tasks and take action on them. So I want you to really remember that. That's why we get such a thrill from setting our goals and we almost get like a full chest moment. Like I really believe in myself. I can do this time. That's absolutely how it's going to go. That's because we're in the planning phase. Our brain releases so much dopamine around then because it feels really good. We're planning these things, we're putting together, you know, systems, we're picturing this future self that we are going to be, and we get a dopamine dump. And then it's actually time to achieve it, and it's like, nah, that sounds awful. And then we don't, and then we feel like shit, and then we start this whole new plan all over again. We feel good, and then rinse and repeat. And then once the task is done, we get a hit of dopamine. That feels really good, right? I achieved something. So we're only going to get this feel-good motivation when we plan for it or when we finish it, but not when we actually go through with it. So we need to set up these systems now in December, a few weeks before New Year comes, so that by the time New Year does, and if we want to kind of start on New Year, that official goal of going to bed at 11 can start on January 1 if I wanted to. But in the meantime, I'm going to make sure that my systems around my sleep time are kind of set in motion. And any behavior change takes from 66 to 258 days in order to become more habitual. And that's quite a long time. But when we're talking about all the resolutions that we've failed in the past, it's really not that much. It's a blip on the radar, right? So we set these SMART goals within our innovation in order to change the system, give us a fighting chance at actually achieving these. Our F is our fortitude, which I did kind of touch on because I tend to get tangential and I'm working on it. It's the fortitude. It's the resilience. It's learning to adjust when things don't go perfectly. It's not shitting on yourself that you stayed up until 2 a.m. eating bonbons, which I have done many times, the next morning. And then it's like, oh, well, fuck it. Today I'll do the same. No, okay. I did that last night. And there was something that I needed from that. And now I can do my S, my self-awareness, to figure out what it is that I was looking to achieve last night, right? And today, I'm going to get back on track. I'm not going to live and swim in this guilt and shame that I'm putting on myself. And if I do exhibit any sort of guilt, I'm going to use that as positive guilt, helpful guilt, motivational, actionable guilt, right? And that's really what our F shows us. If you're a parent listening, that's what our kids need to see. They need to see how we handle disappointment too. We tend to celebrate wins, but not give any time or attention to when we don't win, when we don't even get to the starting line, right? And we need to show our kids how we adapt without shitting on themselves. Recognizing that this is one of the most innately human experiences we will have, and we get to coach them through. If, again, that goal is for me to stop losing my shit on my kids, there's going to be the underlying part. I'm going to share with them what it is that I'm working on. Right? That's all part of the fortitude. That's all part of building up my self-efficacy, my ability to keep things going even when I make mistakes, even when I stumble, even when I fall flat on my face. And not losing my shit on my kids encompasses all of this. But really, I need to regulate myself and communicate with those around me what I'm working on, what I'm doing within this regulation. Our T is our transformation. This is, of course, where all small steps add up. Every tiny shift is going to bring you closer to becoming this version of yourself that you're trying to be. I wish I had a magic pill. I really do. And also, another part of me doesn't. Because we feel better about ourselves. We build more self-efficacy, more self-esteem, more of our self-concept when we achieve the goals through hard work, through pushing past the parts of us that tell us not to. For our prefrontal cortex, right? That frontal lobe, that part that we learn from the neurochemistry, is our logic, is our weighing our pros and cons, is our better self, our higher self, and not just this, you know, just feral version of us that lives in our amygdala, right? And it's building that part, and that's the part that is going to help us generate this self-concept. That's going to remind ourselves how to regulate when we feel angry. That's going to remind me why I'm going to bed, not even early. I wanted to say early, but I guess that's not really early for other people, but that really is for me. And this will be challenging for me. And that's the point. We build new neural connections when we do the hard shit, not just when things are handed to us, right? And so we start these things little by little and we build them incrementally. Once I'm going to bed at a reasonable time, most of the time, I can add in more things. But first, I'm focusing on sleep quality because that is incredibly important. And then next, maybe I add in a breathwork exercise when I wake up or a morning meditation that I do just not as often because I set the goal previous in the year to do it every day and then I fell off and then I felt like shit and then I avoided the hell out of it, So I'm starting to do that now. I'm adding these things in so that when my alarm goes off in the morning, it automatically plays this 5-minute meditation through the Balance app that I absolutely love. So remember, setting these really big goals sounds really good and your brain releases feel-good chemicals, but you're setting yourself up for burnout. Set smaller, more attainable goals and celebrate small wins. Let that boost your motivation and build momentum. And also that dopamine hit will be coming through so much more often when I'm achieving that goal every single day, most of the week, whatever this is, and not just waiting for this end of the year, I did it. Prolonged gratification, right? We need to be building ourselves up to do the little things often so we get more continuous dopamine. So then I can go back into the planning phase and then it's actually realistic and attainable and I get to that transformation. And when you fall off, expect to fall off, not if, it's when. When you fall off, give yourself grace and then get back on. Whatever it looks like, start back at the beginning if you need to, and that's okay. So as we step into this new year, please shift your focus from perfection to progress. Think about what truly matters to you. And then if you stumble, no problem. Real growth isn't about sticking to the plan 100% of the time. It's sticking to the process. If you need help along the way, you know where to find me. Come in, become my steady friend. And speaking of not losing your shit on your kids, I am putting together programming for live virtual groups that will allow for us to kind of come into a community of people who are really suffering in silence, who are guilting themselves in silence, thinking every other parent is probably doing way better than I am. And I'm the only one, you know, wounding and harming my kids with me losing my shit and getting too loud and saying mean things or whatever this is. And I just want a community for all of us to come together. So I'm working on a group there. And so much of the way that I built my entire practice and this podcast and everything is rooted in this ideology that we all go through these things in one way or another, and we're told not to talk about it. And I'm not going to sit here and exploit my marriage, my parenting, and all of this for anything. I'm not exploiting it at all. I'm sharing it to demystify this shit, to show the realness that even though this is what I do for a living, I still struggle within it. Surgeons still need surgery sometimes, right? And we're not going to operate on ourselves. So I want to show how real all of these experiences are. And I really just want to show that life is going to rock us. Our human existence is going to be so fucking hard. And I just want us to have a community to go to rely on, that when you fall off of your resolution or when you yell at your kids and you feel like absolute shit about it, you can open this app and have everyone's support. Not to tell you that you did the right thing, but instead to tell you to give yourself grace and give you tools and skills to go back and make amends and forgive yourself. And work through this entire shift framework with people who are going through a lot of the same things that you are. So I'm so excited to get that going. It's going to be called the Parental Shift, and I will share new details as we go. I'm so excited. And just for the record, I have never been a group person. I am very, very introverted. I do not care to meet new people a lot of the time in my personal life. And a couple years ago, the idea of joining a group program or even running one sounded terrible because it's not something that I would do. And now, being the woman that I am and the parent that I am and the wife that I am, the one-to-one stuff, even in my personal coaching and therapy, is just not cutting it. I'm wanting community and collaboration, and I'm wanting just more. And I'm hoping you are too. So let's get through our social anxiety and discomfort and introversion together, and let's build a community where we can support one another and, you know, thrive. Remember, everything I do here and outside of here is for empowerment, one shift at a time. Stay steady, and I will see you next time.